You are listening to WXRW LP Milwaukee, 104.1 FM and RiverWestRadio.com globally. I'm your host, NTSC. Welcome to The Anti, a weekly primer on freedom. The Anti is anti-authoritarian, anti-capitalist, anti-hierarchy, anti-sexist, anti-racist, anti-fascist, and more. If we are against so very much, what do we stand for? The ideals of freedom. In this series, we explore what a free society would look like while recognizing that none of us today are truly free. Having said all that, even though the device you're listening on right now most likely was not free, the radio waves you are listening to are. However, WXRW costs money to operate. To that end, you can always visit the station at 824 East Center Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and purchase a hat, a mug, or t-shirt, and all proceeds will go directly to supporting the station. Or, if you like any of the programming on WXRW, reach out and become an official underwriter. Every little bit helps. And now you can also dial into River West Radio on your smart speaker of choice. Just tell your listening device at home to play WXRW River West Radio. We're on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, so we have a lot to go over today and not a lot of time. So let's jump right into it. If you're following any revolutionary or leftist discourse of any kind, here in level 9 of Dante's Inferno called 2018, you'll most likely have run across people and pundits using the term neoliberal. Our modern, like, American dichotomy would have some people assuming that the term just refers to some kind of newfangled sort of liberal, like liberal 2.0. Just like, you know, a neo-Nazi is a new, stupider kind of murderous, genocidal, garbage human, you know? So they think that's what a neo-liberal is. So, like, you know, if conservative and liberal are the two opposing sides of the gross, rusted, feces-caked coin that is our modern capitalist quote-unquote democracy, you would be forgiven, you know, for assuming that neoliberal is just a bleeding heart tree hugger on steroids. Not my words. Some people may be surprised to learn that both liberals and conservatives alike are perfect examples of neoliberal entities. The GOP, which, by the way, stands for the Gross Old Pukes, and the Democrats, which maybe is the most incorrect use of the term democracy ever. Both the GOP and the Democrats are neoliberals to the extreme. Yes, sorry, any candidate running for representative office here in the spiraling red toilet water that is 2018 is a neoliberal. The jobs guarantee, that's a neoliberal policy. Fracking, that is a neoliberal activity. Whether the politician is on the left or the right, if they have a seat at the table, you can be guaranteed they are a neoliberal. So what does that really mean then? To answer the question, we're gonna dive back in time to the 1600s. Cue the time machine noise. Oh yes, the entire structure of our socioeconomic and political system is derived from the gruesome fever dreams of a stinky 17th century Englishman named Tom Hobbes. Oh boy. Tom Hobbs. Tommy was not a big fan of the human race. I tell ya. We're going back in time. Because we are going to bear witness to the birth of what we would call classical liberalism. Hobbes dreamed up the whole notion and concept of the social contract. So in the last episode, we talked about fascism, right? Well, I'll tell you, all fascist dictators have Hobbes, Thomas Hobbes, to thank for their power, because the social contract of Hobbes's world defines the state's power and rights to authority as superseding the power or agency of individuals. Essentially, Hobbes argued that individuals, you know, within a social system are there, they're in that system by free choice, that they are consenting to their freedoms being controlled by the state in return for the state protecting them. Let that really sink in for a second, because it bears repeating. According to the social contract outlined by Hobbes, members of a society freely and willingly surrender their freedoms to the state so that the state will protect them. In essence, the state is, according to Hobbes, supposed to use its power over individuals to protect the property rights of those individuals. Hobbes saw the state as like the father figure who would keep all the nasty, brutish children from killing each other. And that's really what Hobbes envisioned. His worldview was so bleak and grim. He assumed our human nature was literally to do nothing but just murder each other all day, every day, in the pursuit of all selfish gains. He saw the state as the only thing standing in opposition to what he called the war of all against all, which is very dramatic. You know, forget the fact that humans are sociable by nature. Forget the fact that before any state of any kind existed, humans had been living in mutualist, non-hierarchical tribes for literally tens of thousands of years. No, Hobbes was convinced that without the state and the rule of law imposed by the state with an iron fist, everyone would just fight and kill everyone else at all times, because morality isn't based on anything but pure self-interest. What a load of a horse plucky. Man, Hobbes was a schmuck of the highest order. And don't forget that that worldview, that Hobbesian worldview, is the one that our modern society and system is built on. And if that wasn't bad enough for you, enter onto the scene, Exhibit B, one Tommy Malthus. Seems like all these losers are named Tom for some reason. Apologies to any and all Toms listening, all right? It's not your fault. It's not your fault. So old Tommy Malthus, he hated people even more than Hobbes did, if you can imagine. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Boy, did he have a real special kind of loathing for one specific group of people. The poor. Yep. The majority of the population of the world, with the least means by which to defend themselves against class and state violence. Man, Tom really hated them. Just could not abide the poor. Also, he was maybe the most famous person to ever really proselytize the myth of overpopulation. And I use proselytize here quite purposefully, because Tom was a cleric. Overpopulation. Let me state really very clearly on record, overpopulation is a myth. It is not a real concern. Anyone who tries to convince you that overpopulation is real and bad is someone who has a specific population of people they personally dislike and would prefer didn't exist. When people are talking about controlling a population, they're not talking about controlling themselves. No. Also, it's worth saying that people who tout overpopulation are not recognizing the very real, structurally systemic causes of environmental collapse and human and non-human suffering. Don't worry, we'll devote a whole show to the overpopulation myth, but suffice it to say, Tom Malthus is maybe the best known tool in a long line of tools that used overpopulation as an argument to make people's lives miserable. Back to Malthus. He posited that there would be inevitable populations of poor people, filthy and starving in abject, crushing poverty, and that it was a really good thing. Malthus saw it as a basic kind of evolutionary population control. He was totally cool with the majority of people suffering in the gutters and dying young because, well, they deserved it. He loved to blame the poor for their own poverty, thereby removing any and all, you know, responsibility from the moneyed classes who just deserved happiness more. Yeah. He made it very in vogue to blame the poor for their own poverty. You know, I bet you will all be just shocked to learn that Tom Malthus was born rich and never worked a single day in his whole life. He spent the whole of his days at the most prestigious schools, being tutored by the very best minds of his age, having all of his needs met, and then publishing books to wild acclaim. Truly, he was a banana of the highest order. But man, he really thought the poor and debtors ought to be corralled into workhouses. Yeah, where they could just toil away until death in an attempt to, you know, pay their way in the world. Because, you know, they owed a debt just being alive. Ooh, those poors. If you're just tuning in, you are listening to WXRW River West Radio. And this is The Anti, Primer on Freedom. I'm your host, NTSC, and today we're talking about neoliberalism. What is it? Why is it awful? And how do we fight against it? Okay, so classical liberalism, the kind of which was created and popularized by dingbats like the Tommies, Hobbes and Malthus, gave us basic concepts like the rule of law, class stratification, and one very sticky wicket called economic freedom. Yes, indeed. That's why the thing is called liberalism to begin with. The concept of the invisible hand of the market was created by classical liberalist theory. And that is the notion that the market, when allowed to do its job without interference by the state, would create the perfect world where everyone has what they need. I mean, except the poor, you know, because society needs them to suffer and die young, don't forget. Classical liberalism gave us the concepts of value theory and wages and profits and rent and, you know, all of the lofty economic demons that rule your waking life and haunt you in your nightmares. The fact that your only means of self-support is through the sale of your labor and body for wages, which are dictated by the interests of literal billionaires. All of that gifted to us by the legacy of classical liberalism. So, if that wasn't bad enough, we're now going to step through the curtain back into our modern era and explain what the heck neoliberalism is and how it differs from its classical parent. First, neoliberalism in no way alters or seeks to alter the negative externalities of classical liberalism. It doesn't seek to improve the lot of the poor. It doesn't aim to redistribute wealth in any liberal sense of the American dialogue. Quite the opposite. Neoliberalism's economic theory is based entirely on freeing up markets to a ludicrous degree. Neoliberalism seeks to limit the state to a purely military slash kind of policing entity, limiting its power to regulate and, you know, removing any and all state-owned properties. Essentially, neoliberalism's primary goal is to privatize everything by selling off all services to corporations, deregulate everything, thus allowing corporations to run amok and cause, you know, just as much misery and destruction as they want in the name of profits. Neoliberalism seeks to cripple all social programs through austerity, thereby guaranteeing a mass of poor who can, you know, just be fed into the prison industrial complex. And of course, free any limitations on trade, thereby devaluing all human labor and encouraging companies towards human rights abuses and slave labor conditions. And that nightmare is the neoliberal dreamscape. Everything held privately in the hands of a few mega conglomerates, a global currency devalued to the extreme to ensure low wages and high prices, just the rape of the natural world without social consequence, leading to the purposeful and permanent destruction of our natural world. That is the legacy the free market will wreak upon us all. We're going to have to delve further into all of those individual items in later episodes, but for now, let's focus on how you can personally fight against the neoliberal machine, given your limited resources and influence.
We deregulated the airlines. We deregulated the trucking industry. We deregulated financial institutions. We decontrolled oil and natural gas prices. And we negotiated lower trade barriers throughout the world to get rid of needless and burdensome federal regulations, which benefit nobody and which harm all of us.
And if you ask yourself what this era is, its crucial principle is undermining mechanisms of social solidarity and mutual support and popular engagement in determining policy. It's not called that. What's called is freedom. But freedom means subordination to the decisions of concentrated, unaccountable private power. That's what it means. The institutions of governance or other kinds of association that could allow people to participate in decision making, those are systematically weakened. Margaret Thatcher said it rather nicely in her aphorism about there is no society, only individuals. She was actually unconsciously, no doubt, paraphrasing Marx, who, in his condemnation of the repression in France, said the repression is turning society into a sack of potatoes. Just individuals, amorphous mass, can't act together. That was a condemnation. For Thatcher, it's an ideal. And that's neoliberalism. We destroy, or at least undermine, the governing mechanisms in which people, at least in principle, can participate to the extent the society is democratic. So weaken them, undermine unions, other forms of association, leave a sack of potatoes, and meanwhile transfer decisions to unaccountable private power, all in the rhetoric of freedom. Well, what does that do? The one barrier to the threat of destruction is an engaged public, an informed, engaged public, acting together to develop means to confront the threat and respond to it. And that's systematically weakened for people to become more passive and apathetic and not to disturb things too much. And that's what the neoliberal programs do. So put it all together and what do you have? A perfect storm.
That was an excerpt from a piece published by The Nation back in June of 2017. The first voice you heard, of course, was Jimmy Carter, considered by all means a very liberal politician. And boy, was he very neoliberal. He mentioned all the deregulation, you know, of so-called burdensome government oversight on industry and corporations. Like I said, and it bears repeating, any politician on the world stage, if they have a seat at the table, they are a neoliberal, and they will spend their time and their effort and their money, or your money, towards neoliberal ideals. And then the second voice was Noam Chomsky, an anarchist and an academic. And I personally disagree with Chomsky on any number of points, and I find him to be far too, you know, trapped in the straitjacket of academia. But his point here is well made. Neoliberalism undermines the social glue of solidarity and mutual aid, further seeking to atomize us in our own selves and really pitting us against each other in competition for dwindling resources, which more and more are just being funneled directly to the tippy top of the 0.001%. So how best to face the neoliberal system? Well, first and foremost, you need to take care of yourself and everyone around you. The habit is to feel powerless and weakened against what seems like really insurmountable odds. I'm here to tell you the odds are not insurmountable. The neoliberal demagogues want you to think you're powerless. Or worse, and this is even more insidious, they want you to feel powerful, but only within a very limited scope of potential that they have specifically outlined for you. That is a fallacy, and that is a lie. There is great strength in numbers. And the fact of the matter is, we outnumber them by over 1,000,000 to 1, and that is the absolute truth. Actually, you know, let's do some really quick math here. So Forbes says there are 2,208 billionaires in the world today. The population of Earth has now exceeded 7.6 billion. So we outnumber the billionaires 3,442,028 to 1. And also, let's not forget, you know, 7.6 billion humans minus 2,208 billionaires is still roughly 7.6 billion people. Really, 2,208 is not going to make a dent in that. And of those 7.6 billion people, most of whom are living in situations and conditions far worse than yours and mine. Let's not kid ourselves about that. And also, it should be noted here, I'm using, you know, billionaires as kind of a shorthand for neoliberals because, I mean, really, you can be, you know, guaranteed they have the most vested interest in the maintenance of this status quo. Truly, there are so few people outlining the economic reality of our world. We can stop them through sheer force of will alone. And this is where most shows would encourage you to vote. I won't do that. The anti is anti-authority, anti-hierarchy, and assuredly anti-politician. Like I said, I'm going to say it again. Any politician with a seat at the table is a neoliberal. The table is built by neoliberals for neoliberals. for people who believe in this system based on classical liberalism, but taken to its extreme and horrifying, you know, conclusion. A so-called progressive within this system is still, whether they like it or not, whether they believe in what they're doing or not, they are a pawn for the capitalist class and the structural violence that this system embodies, right? Despite their best intentions. So instead of voting, organize. Organize with your neighbors. Cooperate. Give of your time and your abilities to the people around you, and do so without any expectation of reward or transaction. Strike from your place of work, but don't do it with the goal of higher wages or more vacation time. Those are cheap concessions from the neoliberal class. Instead, strike for freedom, like real freedom. Strike for human decency. Strike for a dignified life lived on your own terms. Strike for the saving of our one and only Earth, which is, let's not kid ourselves, being killed quickly and savagely by billionaires. Speak out against neoliberal talking points wherever you see them, because the neoliberal agenda does not have your best interests at heart. It is based on the fallacy that the free market will provide for you, when the reality is the free market and its neoliberal defenders are killing you directly, not even indirectly. The market kills you with the stress of your job, and the increases in disease and the risk of disease that stress carries with it. It kills you with pollution, completely unchecked and rampant, lead in the air and the water, plastics covering the planet, plastics found now even in human placenta, concrete and asphalt smothering more and more of the world, leading to increased air toxicity and global temperature instability. Make no mistake. The fight against neoliberalism and its proponents is self-defense against a very real and formidable attacker. Thank you all so much for tuning into The Anti here on WXRW River West Radio. I am your host, NTSC, and I'll be back again next week to discuss further topics as they relate to freedom and our awesome shared potential. Past episodes can be found at creamcitymedia.com/anti, and more information about the show can be found on riverwestradio.com.